So we have been moving through Revelation, and Revelation moves through it, kind of gives you everything at once. And then it goes into in between seventh seal, right? Now where we're at is we're in the moment of the seventh seal being open. Okay. This is the moment, and this is where it's an intense sequence of what God is dishing out, and everything's unfolding. And so this is going to provide us with like a deeper understanding of God's justice, of his plan, the power of prayer, but obviously the ultimate judgment that God has within us. So we really got to think about this. Coming in today and reading chapter 8 and going through Revelation 8, it's that moment where whatever life factors are happening or wherever your head is at, it needs to be focused to here, because God's going to come and he's going to judge you and he's going to judge all. And so this is the moment. Are we standing right before the Lord? Are our hearts surrendered to him? Are we doing what we can do for the kingdom of God as we're here on earth? And so we're going to start with chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. And can someone read that for me? But this is an eerie moment. Think about it. What is heaven known for? Worship, right? Holy, 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 right? And so all of a sudden, there's a dramatic moment of silence that the heavens are going to be silent for about a half an hour. Why? Go for it. The calm before the storm. Okay. So silence follows what? The opening of the seventh seal. So this is a powerful pause before God is going to outpour his judgment. Think about this. This is that moment where there's reflection, there is silence, there is going to be this reverence and all anticipation. Think about heaven. They've been waiting, right? They're waiting for this. They have jobs. They have certain things that are going to be done. And the silence signifies that God's judgment, think about this, is not rushed. But it's also, too, where he's that merciful and graceful God, because even in that silence, in theory, there's still time to repent. But once this silence is over and this seal happens, then God's carrying out everything that he has planned. And this is not going to be a pretty picture. This is actually going to be a moment to where it's going to disrupt every person that's alive at this point, right?
I think it's like a parent before they lose their cool, before they spank their child.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Like, take a breather. No, I think it's a moment where, you know, you sit there. I mean, hopefully this never happens, but you're a parent and you have this loving child and you're standing before a judge that he sentenced because he murdered somebody. And that silence between him being guilty or not guilty. Think about that. That's something you've created. That's somebody you've loved your entire life, that you did what you could do, that they went off on their own path in the sinful nature, whatever their heart's desires did. And now you're a parent standing in front of the judge, ready for him to hit the gavel and sit there and say, is your son or daughter guilty? And is that guilty going to lead to a life in prison? This is a creation of that God's created, that people have chose to reject him, that they're going to spend the rest of eternity outside of him. So that's the way I look at it. It's like, that's a somber moment. I could imagine that. And so as we look at this, heaven itself stands in this solemn recognition about what is to happen. Okay. Will someone read verses 3 through 5 for me? Awesome. So here the angel is seen standing near the altar, right? Holding a golden censer filled with the prayers of the saints. Okay. And so we kind of went through some bad weather, and I made a post about what prayer looks like, right? And so some individuals are sitting there, I rebuke the storms in Jesus' name, amen. Well, that got me kind of looking and researching, like, God told Job, right, through all his suffering, can you make the lightning come forth? So there in my head, who's the one that sends the weather? God. How can you rebuke something that God's in control of, right? You can't. Why did Jesus rebuke the storm? And why did they react the way they did? Because Jesus is showing authority, is divine authority over the world, right? So Jesus alone can rebuke the weather. Not you, because you're throwing his name in it and getting some prideful prayer thinking you mean something. No, but a prayer should be, Father, protect our community. Your will be done, but give us the strength to make it through this. Give us enough sense to put ourselves in safety instead of braving and thinking that we're courageous, that we can defy your storm, right? Put us in a safe place in your hands, your loving arms. Amen. That prayer is going to reach heaven. That's what it's saying here, is the prayer of the saints is being collected in this golden censer. And so this shows us that our prayers ascend to God. You know, Daniel had a vision, a dream, that his prayers weren't getting there, right? There's a spiritual warfare. And the angel's like, I was trying to get to you. So the prayers do ascend to heaven, and they are heard in heaven. And so this is that beautiful assurance that God values and responds to the prayers of his people, right? You know, that's tough, because, like, are you really his people? Are your prayers truly getting through? It's that of a righteous man that prayers are heard, right? And how are you made righteous? Because your own works and effort? No, because of Christ in you. So that allows your prayers to be heard. And so this angel then takes fire from the altar, and he throws it upon the earth, causing thunder, lightning, earthquakes. And as we're looking around, we're coming out of this day of bad weather, 2 days of bad weather, we see what? Texas was on fire. Winds are blowing things over. We have tornadoes, lightning. And in the midst of all this, there was an earthquake in Mississippi yesterday. Isn't that wild? So we see the weather. It's preparing us to understand what God's judgment will look like one day. You see this? And so he takes this fire and he throws it, and all this, these lightning, the thunders and the earthquakes happen. And so this act is also symbolizing the prayers of the saints play a role. All right. So we as Christians play a role in the unfolding of God's plan and judgment. Okay. See, our prayers are not in vain. Have we felt that way at times? We felt like we pray and God's not listening and this and that. Well, that's because we're judging what he should listen and how he should respond with our own mind's heart, and that's not the way it is. But he's collecting these prayers, he's hearing these prayers, and these prayers that we're praying should be powerful. They should not be selfish prayers. They should be effective prayers to reach everybody that's lost, right? Not just God, get me through the day. God, put me in a path of someone that's lost. Use me today, right? Or Father, Lord, please draw the heart of people to you. A specific person, right? That's a prayer that I always do for my son. Is like, both of them is like, look, God, draw their heart to you. The only thing that I can do is mimic Christ-like role model. But it's going to be God drawing their heart to himself, right? And so that's a prayer that sounds like that should be the will of God. But the timing of that drawing at the heart, that's where we get impatient, right? He's going down this path. He's doing this thing. He's doing that thing. Well, God's not drawing his heart, or maybe he's drawing his heart through the path of destruction, right? Most of us all been there. We don't have to go through it. Any older man probably will tell you about all the tragedies that come in poor relationship models, poor decisions, alcohol, bars, all these things you do, which is in the world that we live in, that's like a rite of passage. Get a driver's license, right? To go out and drink, turn 21. Those are rites of passages, which that's just living in the world. You know, it's crazy. There's a tribe over in Africa. The rite of passage for going into adulthood, a man to be a man, is to be thrown in. Your tribal leaders are going to take you out in the wild, and he's going to throw you in the ring with a lion. All you have is a spear. So either you kill the lion or you die. If you die, you're not a man. If you kill the lion, it's your rite of passage of being esteemed as a man, to be a leader of your own tribe, right? You pass the test or you fail the test. But in our world, what a rite of passage is, my 16th birthday, I can get a permit and drive. I'm becoming a man. Holy moly, 21, I can go drink and go to the bar. That's a rite of passage. I'm being a man. You see the difference there? There's a big difference. So our prayers are not in vain. Will someone read verses 6 through 12 for me? 6 through 12. Caden, will you read 6 through 12 for me? Silence. We see the presentation of prayers, but then we see the seven angels prepare the sound of their trumpets, okay? These are those trumpets. And this is signaling what? What's a trumpet usually do? It's to bring awareness, to signify that the trumpets are about to be unleashed and be brought out, and devastation's about to occur, right? And so the first trumpet brings hell and fire, burning a third of the Earth's vegetation. Think about that. That's a lot. Like, what was it? I did the numbers last sermon. The third of the population, if we took the population today, it was like 2.6 billion people. Think about this. That is a lot. So if you took a third of our geographical mass and take a third, guess what looks that's going to start looking like? God is kind of burning and pushing. Do you see this? So we're naturally going to have to get away from the dead of the earth vegetation for food and survival. So the people that make it through are being moved in. And guess where that focal point's going to be? Jerusalem, right? So that's where the drawing of his people back to Jerusalem. And so the second trumpet turns a third of the sea into blood, causing destruction. Why do you think that would cause destruction, the sea turning blood? What would that do? There's a lot of food that comes from the sea, right? There'd be a lot of death, disease. A lot of animals would die. Think about the picture here. You just see masses and masses of bodies dying, animals dying because the sea is now blood and not carrying the nutrients and the setup that God's designed for them to survive, right? And so it's shutting down all this. The third trumpet makes a third of the fresh water bitter, okay? Fresh water. What God leads us to water, right? To living water, this fresh water. Now he's going to make it bitter. Why? What do you do in water? Take away. We shower, we get drinks, we use the toilet, all that's fresh water. Now you're going to get poisoned if you're drinking. It's going to be bitter. The fourth trumpet darkens the third of the sun, moon, and stars, affecting light and timing. So we see the science part of the power of the moon, right? Like when the moon is at a different focal point, I don't know the scientific nature, but the waters are rougher, the sea's a little bit rougher, and there's some sort of something that happens with the moon. It changes the way the water moves and this, that. So think about what's going to happen when this is, it's like your lights are out. Think about that. What happens when we're in the dark? We have nothing else to do. You get bored. You get disorganized. You get confused, right? You take a tornado through a town and it rips out all the power. The town you once knew now looks like a battlefield. You're not sure which direction's what, right? So it throws people off. But each of these judgments here reflects consequences of the human rebellion, okay? So God's not doing this just because this is human rebellion. Think about it. So God is sovereign over creation. So God is control over the weather. He's in control over what happens. But we are rebellion. This is a consistent rebellion. And God has been long-suffering, right? Think about it. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and God has been continually just waiting. Think about that. He sent his son to die on the cross. We killed his son, and he's waiting. What is he waiting for? For everyone to hear the good news. For everyone to repent, to believe, right? And so think about where we're at today. This is the direct consequence of human rebellion. So these are serve as warnings on earth. Think about this. He's sending these out because what's he wanting people to come to? What's another word that senses? Repentance. Repent with your heart. Repent. Repent and believe, right? Repent and believe. Because here we're going to look that there's a greater wrath that's about to be poured out. So just like some of us watch that movie, it put in perspective, they're like, dang, how scary would that be? But it's realized, it's crazy because that movie showed it showed the human nature, cursing God in the midst of all this. But then the other people repented and came to know God, right? That's the goal, and that's the heart that's being drawn. That's the elect, because some people's hearts are not ever going to pre-position themselves to receive the word of God. They're hardened, or that judgment's already been sent. That debased, reprobate mind. So we look at God and we think that he doesn't judge people. He doesn't open up the hole and swallow Korah. No, he does. He sends you. What he does now is he sends you with a reprobate mind. He sends you with that debased mind where you're in that disillusionment that you denied the truth and you're going to believe the lie. So guess what? The rest of your life, that's your thing, is you're going to miss the truth because you've already denied it. You've been presented with it. You've denied it. So now you got these people walking around. Why can't they get it? Why don't they understand it? They know the word of God, but why can they? Because they want to believe the truth. They want to follow their life of sexual immorality and everything else. So they're going to, he's given them over to their own desires. And what's the sinful nature of a man? What does it lead to? Death. So therefore, God is still putting out judgments. We think of it, Jesus came, well, he doesn't do all the stuff he did before. Guess what he does? He gives you over to a debased mind. Guess what that debased mind does? It ravages the world. Murders, kids being killed, kids being raped, all these different things. It's not because of what God wants to do. It's because these individuals are rebelled against God and got that debased mind, and they're going to do debased things. There is no foundation. And so then it spreads and it hurts. But in the midst of all that horror, guess what? People come to God, don't they? Like, and you take Tyler's town, it got devastated by the tornado. Racism, socioeconomic statuses don't exist in the midst of community cleanup. That's all erased. Isn't that amazing? It's one person helping another the way it should be. That's God's in the middle of the rebuilding. And it takes sometimes for communities to come together like that, to remember that you're in a community, that you should be brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're here to support one another. But will someone read verse 13? Okay, that's the last verse, right? 13 is where we end. So look at this. After the judgments, these judgments were severe, weren't they? I mean, think about what just happened, truthfully. Now an eagle flies through. Can you imagine an eagle flying through, crying out, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of earth? I'd be like, looking for my medication. You know, take my medication. That eagle's not supposed to be doing that. But he's saying, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of earth because of the trumpets blasts that are about to be sounded. God gives us warning. God's got an order. God's fully planned out, right? And what's going to catch your mind better than an eagle? That's going to catch you. That's going to get some cell phones popping off, right? So you see the eagle go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everyone's going to be watching this eagle. Some people go deeper into the thoughts of figuring out what the eagle's supposed to be and who it's supposed to be and what government's supposed to be and all these different things. But right now I'm taking it as that God's going to send a sign that comes. It's going to say, whoa, whoa, whoa to the inhabitants of earth. Okay? So this here for us should be a sober reminder. If the ones left behind or the ones still here, how that's going to work, there's about to be a greater judgment that's about to happen. I don't know what that's going to look like, but he's going to show us these three woes are corresponding with the three trumpet blasts, right? There's going to be a fourth one. Three trumpet blasts, the fourth one, it's going to be even more intense. But in the midst of all this happening, what's it showing us? That God is merciful. God's warning. He's giving us a heads up. He's drawing us out. He's using the people left behind. You got sealed people. You got people sharing the gospel. You still have all this going on in the midst of all this chaos, right? But he's showing that God is still merciful, and he's given humanity one last opportunity to repent before this great devastation arrives. Does God have to do this? No, that's what God is doing. He's given us every moment, but yet he already knows that he's going to be rejected. Think about that. You're in the most horrific environment, and yet you still deny God. It blows me away that these people will sit there and say, God's not real. Jesus never came. And they'll grab a rock and say, energy from this rock. What? What? That's crazy to me. That's crazy. So Revelation 8, it shows us that the silence in heaven is that calm before the storm. It's God preparing, showing his perfect timing, right? That God is setting these things up because he's a God of order, and that the prayers of the saints, it shows us that we have a part in this, that the prayers are being heard, and that he's allowing us to be part of his divine plan. Isn't that assurance? That's reassuring for us. The trumpet judgments remind us that God's justice is real. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. People are going to face this, and that sin has consequences. And this is such a time as this to surrender, repent, and come to Jesus, right? To come to the Lord, because you're not too far gone. I get this all the time. People say, well, I'm too far gone, and this and this, and I just can't this and this, this. Today is the day, right? Today is the day that you repent. Today is the day that you come to the Lord, and you spend the rest of your life on this path of sanctification trying to figure it out. But how do you do that? With us, with each other, with the Word of God, right? Prayer, that you have to say no to yourself. You have to die to yourself. What that mean? Well, I'm not going to get up and do what I did yesterday. I'm going to go with the Word of God and see how Christ role modeled the way to live. I'm going to go to the Word of God and see this. I'm going to quit looking at other people that are supposed to be, you think supposed to be perfect, and you call them hypocrites, and that pushes you away from walking this path. No, in theory, we're all broken. We all need the help. There's no perfect person walking amongst this earth. So quit sitting there and saying church her or church that or church this or church that is your excuse. Because most of those people crying that out only use their Bible as a paperweight. It's an accessory to their clothing on Sunday. They want to blame everyone else because they do not want to look at their own heart's desire. But sin is real, and so is justice. Consequences of sin is going to happen. The warning of the eagle shows us that God even in the midst of judgment, is merciful and calls his people to repentance. That there in itself, what has God done for us already, right? That he's going to continue and do this for the people left behind, the people that are here. So as we look at this, we have to look at our heart. We have to challenge our hearts. We cannot keep living the way we once were. And we have to surrender to Christ, because Christ came, and we have to urge others to Christ. Paul says the way he's trying to convince, persuade, right? Like, I look at someone, and when you're sharing the gospel, that's what you're doing, is you're persuading. However, God will draw that heart for that person to receive. And I love it because we see this, right? As long as we've been doing this ministry now, have we seen people that come through here that God has drawn their hearts, right? And guess what they do? Run, implode, self-destruct. They don't want to live the life that God's called them to do, so they go the opposite direction. Part of that's because they don't want to give up their sinful ways. They don't want to change the way they live. They don't want to walk the walk that Christ is calling them. So the book of Revelation is not just about judgment. I've said this before, it's about hope. It's hope in Christ's return and the restoration of all things. So we have to live our lives in this readiness that he's coming, and we don't know when, but we have to be prepared, right? So let's pray, and then we'll go through the notes. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for your mercy, Father, your grace, your extended grace and mercy, Father. Thank you for your steadfastness and long-suffering, for the fact that people keep rejecting you. We keep turning our backs on you, but yet you're waiting. You give us time in between the judgments and during the judgments that your hopes are that people would come and repent, Father. We love you here. We're thankful that we have this relationship with you. We're thankful that we don't have this debased mind, that we don't acknowledge the truth, Father. We're growing, we're learning, we're imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. Father, help us know you better, draw our hearts closer, and if there's areas in our life that we keep hanging on to, that we think that it's our way and it's the right way, and Father, just help us surrender those thoughts. Surrender that to and humble us in the moment to where we see Christ is the only way, Father. And help us apply what he's shown us and taught us in our lives, Father, so we can be the light in a world that's getting darker and darker. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.